found me, I was blinded, and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken, and you healed me. I was dying, and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. Found me, I was blinded, and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken, and you healed me. I was dying, and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity.
Hallelujah. Before we start, let's just pray that God will have his way. This is a Bible study, right? And God speaks to us through his word. So let's just make sure our hearts are ready. Thank you, God, for being here today. Thank you for that. I can know who I am in you, God. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would move in this place. God, that your anointed word would speak into our hearts. God, let there be less of me, less of us, and more of you this morning, so that your word might impact us in an awesome way. That it might change our lives. That it might cause us to think differently. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You could be seated this morning. If it looks a little bit different here this morning, it's because the 101 and 301 classes are not going on. Also, children, if you're under 18, raise your hand. There's no Sunday school, no youth this morning, so we have our work cut out for us, okay? Pastor Roy's not here, but I sort of wish he was, but it doesn't matter. He's helping speak at the Stoughton Church. He's a kind of guest speaker there this weekend, so we're praying that everything goes well and God's anointing is there with him and with the service. But he spoke the last service. He was talking. This is not part of my message, but we can get there. I was sitting in the front row, and I had my beard on, and he was talking about facial hair, and he was using me as this great example. And great example, yeah. And I said, I told him afterwards, he's like, man, thanks for being a good sport. I said, Pastor Roy, you and I, we've talked about this multiple times. I know how things go. And I did joke with him that I'm going to get a bumper sticker. Pastor Seidel talked about unity and the anointing flowing down the beard of Aaron. And my bumper sticker is going to say, the anointing can't flow down the beard if there's not a beard. So, but anyway, the reason I say this is we're talking about wisdom this month, right? We're talking about wisdom this month. Now, what I appreciate about my pastor, there's many things, but one of the things is he was very clear up here. He said, Peter, you're not going to hell because you have a beard. But I have a preference as the pastor of this church. Me and Bishop, we prefer that you be clean-shaven when you take the microphone. And I've always been clean-shaven, and I've never turned down one because I wanted to grow my beard longer, right? So I want to bring to mention somebody that's really interesting to me. We think that this church thing, they have these dumb rules. Church rules, they won't let you have a beard. Well, you can have a beard. You just can't have a mic and speak when you have the beard, right? How many people have ever heard of the name Johnny Damon? Johnny Damon. Yes. What's another name he's known for? Spencer? Eric? Jesus. They call him Jesus. They call him Jesus. Johnny Damon was a center fielder for the Boston Red Sox. Okay. Johnny Damon had hair down to his shoulders and a big beard. Like, he could grow a really nice beard. And at the Red Sox, it was almost like it was proud to be a little bit dirtier. Like, you got more of that muck on your helmet and on your gloves. That's the way it was. Johnny Damon got traded to the New York Yankees. And the very next day, he looked like this. The very next day, his hair was trimmed. It was above his ears. He was completely clean shaven. He looked like a baby with hair. It was the funniest thing. And everybody's like, what in the world? Did you know that since like the 1950s, the New York Yankees have had a rule that if you want to be a part of the New York Yankees, you have to be clean shaven and your hair has to be above your ears? Did you know that? Dumb rules. Yeah, those churches. Those churches and their liberal. Wait, hold on. You know, a while back, and I'm not getting into the politics here, but a while back when everybody was, there was this thing about, you know, the national anthem was singing and people were choosing not to take a knee to support their cause, right, whatever. Did you know there was one NFL team that only had one person take a knee? Do you know what that was? The Dallas Cowboys. Their owner had a preference. It's your freedom. It's your right. But he would talk with them, and there was only one player. And so this morning we're talking about wisdom. And sometimes there's wisdom in following what's laid in front of you. Right? Sometimes there's wisdom in following what you're being told, but also in God's word. So let's go back through the month because this is the last month. We've been going through the wisdom books, which is Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. And we've learned that if we seek wisdom by seeking the God who gives wisdom, we will gain what we need to please the Lord and to walk in his commandments. So week one, we talked about wisdom's worth, that godly wisdom is the most valuable asset, and that I can deepen my relationship with Christ, who is the true source of wisdom. So wisdom's worth. Week two, we talked about wisdom's works. God's wisdom produces tangible results in our life. If we follow his way of doing things, there will be positive results in our life. And so the truth was that I'll put God's wisdom into action by obeying his word. I obey his word, which puts his wisdom into action, and there's good things in my life. Wisdom's worth, wisdom's works, and wisdom waits. That was last week. Wisdom waits. The truth about God is that God acts according to his sovereign timeline. So they've essentially said wisdom is very valuable, and when you obey God's word, you will have great things in your life, but hold on, it happens on God's time. Like, wisdom sometimes doesn't just jump into things. Having wisdom means you're waiting. So I will wait patiently for God's timing in my life. And today we take a little bit of a different turn. Today was wisdom's warning. We end the month with wisdom's warning. The kids' truth, for the kids, we have this. This is for the 2 and 3 year olds. So if you feel like, hey, this is a little advanced for me, this is the sentence you need to remember by the end of the day. Okay, the 2 and 3 year olds, the lesson is that a wise person listens to God, or I will listen to God. There we go. I could be done. We could shake hands for the next 50 minutes. I will listen to God. But the Bible does talk about milk and meat and all that, so we gotta bring different things to the buffet of food. So our lesson text this week is Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 14, but we're going to start at verse 13. Verse 13 says, when all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity. So he's finished this long, confusing book where you're like, is this guy a Christian or not, right? This Ecclesiastes, because like, oh, everything's important. Nothing's important. Everything's what you should do, but nothing really matters, right? It's this confusing book. And then at the end, he's like, and after everything I've said, the super wise teacher, he says, but really what matters is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Wisdom, and I'm going to go through some definitions here. Wisdom, I Googled all these, okay? So this is not me being smart, okay? This is Google. Wisdom is defined as the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. That's good. Experience, meaning, you know, as you've gotten older, you've learned some things, right? You've got knowledge because you've read or watched or whatever, and you have good judgment. Wisdom is also defined as knowledge and the capacity to make use of it. How to apply knowledge is what wisdom is. Socrates said that the only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing. Okay? Which is pretty good, true, because if you know nothing, then you should follow somebody else, which in this case, I would recommend God. Knowledge, here's another one. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Did you know that? Squashes, peppers, eggplants, and pea pods are all fruit. How many people put those in their fruit salads with their pineapples and their strawberries and their cantaloupes or whatever that orange thing is? Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Wisdom is the ability to perceive the true nature of a situation and to implement the will of God in that situation. It's essentially the practical application of God's truth to a specific situation. So let's get it down as I'm working my way down through some different viewpoints here. Essentially, wisdom is listening to what Jesus says and then doing it. Listening to what Jesus says and then doing it. So let's go back to 12 verses 13, Ecclesiastes 12, 13. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this: fear God and keep his commands. Okay, so we're going to have some fun here. Kids? Okay, yep, there's kids in the service, so we got to engage here. I have a question for you. What do you think it means to fear God? Who wants to, if you're a kid, no, you're my daughter, you can't go first. Who wants to know, what's your thought? Who knows what it means to fear God? Otherwise, I'm going to walk around and start putting mics in front of people. Fear God. What do you think of? There's no wrong answer here. You're just telling me what you think. Okay, Sophie's going to go first. Don't call it favoritism. Nobody else raised their hands. Okay, what does fear God mean to you? What do you think of when you hear that phrase?
When I think, I mean...
Okay. Everything changes when you got the microphone. Who else? Okay, we're going to start putting mics. What do you think? When I say fear God, what is that? There's no wrong answer here, okay? You can't.
Following his commandments.
Following his commandments, okay. How about you guys? What do you think when I say fear God? What do you think?
Fear of his power and fear of like all of his power and his glory.
Okay, that's great. Roman, what do you think?
What he said, basically.
Okay, see? Look at that. You got followers. Okay, what about you? What do you think? What is it? When you hear the phrase, fear God, there's no wrong answer here. There's no right answer. It's just, I want to know what your perspective is. Okay, what you think of when you hear that. What do you think of?
Probably respect.
Respect? You think of respect? Okay, okay. Brother Tim, what do you think of when you hear the phrase, he's not a youth, but he's close. What do you think of?
Respect and revere.
Respect and revere. Okay. Robbie, it's your turn. Is that what you said? Okay, you can do. What do you think of when I say fear God?
Not ready.
What? Not ready.
Oh, not ready? What do you think of Robbie?
Obedience.
Obedience. Obedience. This is interesting. Okay, if I said, let's fear the boogie monster, what would you think then? I said, fear the boogie monster. What do you think?
Oh, gosh. To be afraid of.
To be afraid? What do you think?
Be scared of him.
Yeah, be scared. Like, get away from him. Do you think, right? Okay, well, we have a smart church. You guys are all pretty good, right? So let's read this verse. We're gonna read this verse, okay, and we're gonna read a couple others, and we're gonna interject some of the words you guys put in there and see if it makes sense, okay? Some of the words I heard were reverence or respect, love, obey, right? So let's read this, okay? When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this. Let's use the word reverence, okay? Jane, we're going to go down all the verses with the same word and see if it makes sense, okay? So we're going to say reverence, okay? So revere is the other word. That's the different tense or whatever. So everybody read with me. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this. Revere God and keep his commands. That makes sense. Okay, let's go to the next verse, which is Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7. Okay, so this one says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So let's try that again. Let's say the reverence, okay? Let's all do it together. Ready? The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Oh, that works too. Okay, we're just interjecting words here. Let's try Proverbs 2:5. Let's go to 2:5. We'll try reverence here. Okay, so say it with me again. We'll say the reverence when we get to fear. Ready? So then you will understand the reverence of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Okay, Proverbs 15:33. The reverence of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. Okay, so let's try these again. Let's start at the top, Sister Jane. Let's start at the top. Start at 12:13 again, Ecclesiastes 12:13. And let's use the word obedience or obey. Okay, ready? So this one will be obey God. So kids, if you're paying attention, we're using obey, not obedience. Here we go. When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this, obey God and keep his commandment. Well, that works too. Huh, interesting. Let's try love. Stay on this first. Let's try this again. Ready? When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is this, love God and keep his commandment. Wow. We're sensing a theme here. Let's skip down to 15:33. Proverbs 15:33. And we'll use love again. Okay? Let's try this. We'll use love and then obey. Okay, the love of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. Now let's try obedience. The obedience of the Lord is what wisdom teaches, and humility comes before honor. And so kids, we and adults, when we're reading in our passage that it says, it all comes down to fearing the Lord. I think sometimes the Lord gets a bad rap. We're all scared that he's going to smite us with fire and brimstone. And he could. He's God, right? He could. He very well could. And we need to keep that in mind. But it's saying to revere him. It's saying to submit to him. To accept him and his word as truth and to obey it. To love him. But then in verse 14, this is where it gets a little scary. It says, Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. Okay, so one of wisdom's warnings is that you will be held accountable for your actions. You can do whatever you want, but you will be held accountable for your actions. This is scary because when I was growing up, my dad used to scare me with Numbers 32:23. He always used to say, well, this is Moses speaking to the people. He's like, but if you don't do this, you will certainly sin against the Lord. And be sure, your sins will find you out. Come on, all you people over 50 used to quote that to your kids. I know it. Come on now. It's a scary verse. But what it's really saying is not that, ha ha, your sins are going to get you. It's really saying, your sins are going to catch up with you. There's consequences to the choices we make in life. If I choose, and this is a choice, if I choose to take part in an activity that causes my body harm, it's very difficult for me to be mad at that activity. God says your temple is your body, the living God. So if I'm smoking or drinking or doing anything that's not good for my body, like eating McDonald's every day, you know, it's easy to say, well, God, God's like, hold on, I have told you not to do this. I've told you to treat your body like a temple. You are not, and there's a natural just order of consequence, a principle for that. That's what he's talking about. That's what they're saying with the sin, right? So Jesus gives this warning about our secret sins being revealed in Luke 8 and Luke 12:3. He says, nothing is secret that should not be made manifest, and nothing hid that should not be known or come abroad. We are responsible for every word we say, but that's only the beginning of our problems. The other issue lies in the fact that we do not always properly examine our words, our motives, our thoughts. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. The Christian Standard Bible says it this way, all of a person's ways seem right to him. How many of us feel that way? Yeah. Well, what I'm doing, this is right. But the Lord weighs the motives. Let's check out the Amplified. Same thing, 16:2, the Amplified version. All the ways of a man are clean and innocent in his own eyes, and he may see nothing wrong with his actions. But the Lord weighs and examines the motives and intents of the heart, and he knows the truth. So I could say something and do something, but God knows what's really in my heart. Our words and actions might seem right in our own eyes, but God judges our intents, our desires. That's why it's so important. Every morning, I talked about this once when we talked about learning to pray, how to pray. I sometimes sit out there and somebody tells me, you know, there's an awesome person. Sister Vicky's been up here before. I've heard Brother Buster. People come up and somebody you really respect or Pastor Roy, and they say, this is something I say when I'm praying. I'm like, oh, that's good. I'm going to write that down, right? I don't remember who it was, but they came through one time and they said, this is how I repent. I say, God, forgive me. And they, for whatever, he goes, forgive me for every thought, for every desire, for every motive, for every intent, for the things I'm not even recognizing that I'm doing. And I was like, oh, that's good. I want to start repenting like that because I want to be like David and clean my heart out. Repentance should always involve asking forgiveness for our intents and our motives, even the hidden things. And so even though this is a very strong word that it's God is watching and he will judge you for everything, he will. We will be judged for our actions. And that's wisdom's warning. Wisdom's warning is that you can do whatever you want, but there are consequences, good and bad, for the things you do. And so I will align my words and my actions and my motives to God's word. I will follow his way of doing things. Because in John 14:6, Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's not another way that works. I have the ability, I have the freedom, I have the right to do anything I want. But that doesn't mean this is the one that's going to get me to heaven. This is not the one that's going to give me life more abundantly. Another warning of wisdom is about timing. We're all busy. There's never time. I bet you if you shook 20 people's hands after service, now they won't. But half people are like, hey, how you doing? Oh, man, I'm busy. Oh, got a lot going on. That's just our answer, right? That's our stay away from me. I don't want you to know what's really in here answer, right? But it's a little bit of truth. When I say I'm busy to you, oh, man, things are busy. Like, I'm drowning and I'm about to, like, pass out. Like, toss me a wave, right? I think about a typical day for a person. You wake up, maybe early, maybe not, depending on your job. You get ready. You get the kids off to school, or you're already gone when they do that. You get them off to school. You spend all day working. You come home. You're busy again with taking the kids off the bus or getting dinner ready and then getting the kids to bed and getting the house cleaned up and maybe taking 30 seconds to try to connect with your wife so you can pretend you have a good marriage, right? All this. And then at the end of the night, just so that you can roll into bed and scroll on your phone for 45 minutes. We're all too busy. And here's the problem. Wisdom's warning is that there's never a good time to start following God's word. There's never a good one. If you're waiting for the next time, the next good time to follow God's word, I thought I had the good time to rake the leaves, and I missed it, and so I was raking yesterday. There's a big patch of musky-looking stuff in my yard. If you drive by, those of you that live out there, you'll see that, right? I thought I had the time. Instead, I'm doing it late. And then my leaves are late. And so guess what? I didn't get to put my Christmas lights up last night, which is disappointing to my family, right? And I could be really mad that the Christmas lights aren't up and I didn't get to it. And I could be mad at my wife. But you know what the truth of it is? I procrastinated and didn't rake the leaves 3 weeks ago when I should have. It's not like I didn't know Thanksgiving was coming, right? This happens. Thanksgiving's in November this year, yeah. I work in construction, and every year people come to me, they're like, oh, but it's going to snow. I'm like, we live in Wisconsin, it snows every year. You should not be surprised at this. Do not use that as an excuse with me as to why you're going to be late or slow. You literally own a business in Wisconsin. It will snow. Sorry, I digress. We're all busy. I even had somebody come up to me once. They had three kids, and they said, you know, we're thinking about having a fourth. I said, don't do it. No, I'm just kidding. And I said, no, but seriously, what's your motivation? You know, I always like to have people, sometimes it's for me, but most of the time it's for them, understand why. Well, you know, we feel like that if we have a fourth kid, I think life will just be a little bit easier and smoother. And usually when those stupid words come out of somebody's mouth, they catch it, and I don't have to say anything when I'm counseling them. But in this moment, I said, at no point in the history of man has adding another human being that you are fully responsible for made your life easier. Right? What? Tim's clapping, yeah. The guy's kids are all gone. Yeah, thanks, Tim. Oh. I think about the phrase that was passed around a while back when, you know, kids, it's horrible. Kids get bullied at school, treated poorly and all this. And there was this phrase that was going around, it gets better. Trying to encourage kids, right? Hey, it gets better, right? And regardless of the situation or why you might be getting bullied, I've thought about that phrase in life. And I so badly want to look at a young family and be like, a young married couple, a young people with kids and be like, it gets better. And it sort of does, but it doesn't. And what I mean by it gets better, it's I find more reward and more connection with my children. I find more of who God is wanting me to be in my children and in my marriage. But it doesn't get easier. It doesn't get easier at all. There is never a good time to start following God's word. One more example, because I'm passionate about this. We got married, my wife and I, and we were getting ready. We got married a little bit older. I think I was 28, 29. You know, my wife's like 28, 29. She's like, you know, maybe it's time to start having kids. And we're thinking, yeah, we want kids. We want 3 or 4 kids, you know. This is good. But I'm like, you know what? I don't know. We're still like drowning in student loan debt. We're living in an apartment. Like this, you know, this is not going to work. My wife, she just had back surgery like a year ago. She had spinal cord surgery, all this stuff. And I was just like, and so my mother-in-law, we're talking to her about it. And she looks at me, she's like, Peter, there's never going to be a good time to have a kid. Like, just so you know. There's not this patch of life where it's just like, ooh, like I'm out in the just frolicking in the pasture. Now is when I will have the kid. Yeah, if you're frolicking in the pasture, you're definitely not having the kid, right? But the fact of the matter is, we are a product of our choices. Our lives are a product of our choices. I heard Brother Jason Siskel once said behind this pulpit, he said, we are who we are because we want to be that way. Man, that's hard to hear. You ever been praying? Maybe you don't, but I heard that phrase many years ago and just never getting it. I'm trying to rattle it out of my brain and I can't get it out of there. And I'll be praying sometimes. I'm like, God, what? You know, I really help me to change. And God, I just hear that voice in my head. You are who you are because you want to be that way. There is never going to be a good time to serve God. Time will eventually rob us of our opportunities and strength. Life goes fast. I used to tease my dad about being old. And you know what he did in all of his wisdom, Brother Silo? He'd just look at me and wink and he's like, just blink, you'll be there. And now I'm 41 and I have 4 kids and my dad's the one looking at me and laughing. Like, see where it goes? But the problem is we're looking at the now. We're not looking at the eternity. We're not looking at the future. We're looking at pleasing this moment. If you Google the top regrets from people on their deathbed, Somebody did a survey and everybody else copied it because every website has the exact same five. Have you read this? They're like word for word. So I've clearly Googled this, but I don't know which one's the original one so they don't get quoted. These are the top five regrets from people on their deathbed. Number one, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. That applies to Christianity too. Like, what does God put on your heart? Go find out in prayer and live that. Not because of what you think Roman wants you to live or Matt wants you to live, right? Not what Abby wants you. It's just, what does God expect of me? Number two, I wish I didn't work so hard. Every single male patient in this survey, every single one said, I wish I didn't work so hard. That's hard to hear as a male. Number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I had stayed in touch with my family and friends. Number five, I wish I'd let myself be happier. You've never heard somebody on their deathbed say, man, I just wish I would have worked a few more hours every night. You know, I wish I would have been angry at my kids a little bit more. You know, I wish I, you know, my wife spent more time with my kids so I could be out doing my thing. In the end, it's a, man, where did my kids go? I wish I had connected and shared my feelings with my spouse more. And so there's never a good time. Time will rob us of all of this. And it doesn't matter if you're 84 or 14 or 3 years old. Now is the time we can start to follow God's word. And we don't do this out of fear because we're scared. We do this willingly and faithfully because it is the best option for a full life. Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Obedience of the Lord, reverence of the Lord, love of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're sensing the theme, right? We talked about wisdom's worth and wisdom's works and wisdom waits, and now we're talking about wisdom's warning. You could do what you want, but there are consequences for our actions. Just general ones, not like God on high with brimstone hitting the smite button. There's like literally just general consequences for your action. You drive too fast, you're going to get a speeding ticket. That's not God's fault. You smoke cigarettes, there's a high chance you could get lung cancer. That's not God's fault. You could do that. It's your choice, right? There's a lot of things that we have choices for. And that's why Joshua in 24:14, Joshua says it best. He's like, now therefore, fear the Lord, obey the Lord, revere the Lord, love the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. In verse 15, but if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve, we will obey, we will revere, we will fear the Lord. Have you ever imagined what it would be like to be master of the universe? Have you thought about that? I've thought about that. Not from some narcissistic reason. But I feel like if I could just create this set of rules, I could figure it out. I could create the society we all want if I could just create this set of rules, right? And sometimes I think about God like that. I want to change things for everyone. I want to make it different for everyone. I think about God sitting up there saying, here's the perfect way that we should do things. And people are like, well, no, I'm not going to do it that way. Okay, that's fine. But if we all did it that way, it would work really well. I went to Bishop one time a number of years ago, and I said, this is before all the socialism talk we're into now. And I said, Bishop, we're sitting right here, and I'm like, Bishop, you know, I'm reading the Bible, and it sounds an awful lot like the Bible is socialist. And he looks at me quick as he could. He goes, the Bible's not socialist. It's communist. And I'm like, what? He goes, and I'm not purporting to be an expert on this stuff, but he said, think about this. You have an all-powerful being that tells you what to do, and you have to obey. Except here, you get the choice, right? But the all-powerful being takes care of everything, right? And if we all do it, it could be better for everybody. And that's the way this whole thing works. We go from socialism and communism and all this stuff, and it's like, hold on, if we come up with one idea that we all agree with and follow, then we'll have a good society. Well, it's great, but nobody follows it. Even God has that problem. Nobody follows it. Yeah. And so our greatest obligation in life is to God. Now, I want to give an example here. I need four volunteers, kids. No, you guys cannot volunteer. I told you this. You guys want to volunteer? Is your mom okay if you volunteer? Kids, oh, right back there. Come on up, buddy. Okay. Rowan, come up here. Okay. No, we got it older than that. One of you guys want to do it? Yeah, come on down. Both of you, come on down. Awesome. Okay, now, this is what we're going to do. We're going to walk to the back of the church. I'm going to put one person, okay, at each aisle, okay, but there's going to be two in the middle. Can you do that? Okay, and we're going to cover our eyes. You cannot look. Rule number one. No looking. Do you understand? Okay, look. Here we go. Let's go to the back and we'll put your mask on. Okay, come here. You don't have to get your kids, so there's more time this morning. Okay, so we're going to put you right here. Okay, can you put this over your head so you cannot see? And we're going to put you right here. Right there. Do not move. Okay, can you see?
No.
Okay, remember, rule number one, no looking, no cheating. Okay. I'm going to fold this up. You're a big guy. You can put this all on your own. Cover your eyes. Make sure you can't see. Okay, that's the purpose of this. Go to that end. Craig will show you right at the end of the carpet where it's purple, okay? Okay, Rowan, you get the unicorn face mask. Okay, don't do anything. Don't look. We're trusting your honesty here. Can you wait right here at this purple line? Can you see? Oh, you're so cute. Okay, stand right here. Okay, now face right there. Don't turn at all. Don't sway or swing or turn. Okay. Now, how this is going to work, for those of you with blindfolds on, I'm going to tell you what to do, and you're going to do it. It's really simple. Okay? Now, I want you to take three steps forward. Three steps forward. Okay. Rowan, take six steps forward. Okay. Everybody else, take 10 steps forward. Now, pause. Stop. Don't move. Okay, here's the rule that I didn't tell you about yet. If you touch anything, you lose. Anything. If you accidentally rub up against a pew, if somebody is in next to the pew and they rub up against you, you lose. Okay? Oh, and one other thing. You guys can't see it because your mask's on. I got a $5 bill up here for whoever can make it to the front. Okay, so you can walk as fast as you want, as slow as you want. You could. I didn't tell you to keep walking, but you could if you want. That's totally up to you. Oh, you just hit a pew. You're out. See, that was easy. Right? Okay. Now, let's take 10 steps forward. Rowan, you get 15. Everybody's so apprehensive. Okay, Mr. In the middle. Yes, okay, I forget your name. I get your brothers confused. Samuel, can you hear me? Can you see?
No,
good, that was a test. Okay, Samuel, you can take 10 steps forward. And then what's your name, son? Robert. Okay, Robert, I need you to take three steps backwards and then turn around and do the chicken dance. He knows it. That's awesome. Yes. Okay. Rowan, I need you to take 15 steps forward. You can walk really fast if you want. Watch out. Nope, that wasn't forward. Oh, you hit the pew. You're out. Okay. Okay, Samuel, you take 7 steps forward. Okay, just keep walking. I'll tell you when to stop. No, it's fine. Just keep walking. You're good. Wait, you're close to the pew. So no, stop right there. Stop. Just turn to your left a little bit. Nope, that's right. Stop. Nope. No. Hold on. We gotta learn left and right. That's okay. You shouldn't be penalized for that. Okay, there you go. Okay, now just walk straight. You're good. Keep going. Samuel, can you turn around the other way? 180 degrees. Spin, Robert. Okay, walk forward, Robert. Keep going, but stop when I tell you to. Okay, ready? Stop. Stop right there. Okay, be very careful. Be very careful. Okay, now there's something in your way. It's high up. It's like right about, this is me. It's right about there, okay? So be very careful. Don't reach for it or you'll lose. You don't get to know. Okay, Samuel, take two steps to your left. Okay, Robert, take two steps to your left. Your other left. There you go. Nope. Sorry. I'm getting you guys confused. Over this way. This to your other left. Your real left. I was talking to your brother. Yeah, that way. There you go. You know your left. I don't. Okay. Okay, now take three steps forward, but you got to raise your hands. Raise your hands in the air. Both of them. Okay, now take three steps forward. Very slowly. Very slowly. Very slowly. Okay, you're almost past it. You're almost, okay, stop right there. Now take one step to your right. Okay, Samuel, go ahead and you can go forward two steps. Very slowly. Slowly, slowly. Okay, and then to the right. Okay, to the right, turn. Oh, you hit the stick with your hand. It's okay. So Robert's the last one. Robert, do you trust me to take six steps forward? You trust me? Okay, just run ahead. Run forward. No, run, 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 run. No, you got to run. Run. Hey, look at that. You won. Okay, take off your mask. Come on, Samuel. Now look at this. Look at what's behind you. Here you go. Look at this. You win $5. Awesome. Thank you. I'll get the hat and the uniform mask. Okay. That's fun. Obedience is a lot harder when you don't know where you're going, when you can't see what's in front of you, when you don't know all the variables. But we serve a God who does know all the variables. We serve a God who knows when something is going to be in our way. And he might tell us to zig or to zag or to turn 180 and do the chicken dance. But there's a reason for it. Faith is acting on it whether it makes sense or not. When I told him to stop and go over two steps and raise his hands, if he would not have raised his hands, he was going to hit that yellow stick. I was looking out for his best interest. But we fail to see that in God because we see what's right in our own mind. Well, I know what I'm doing is right. Our greatest obligation, our greatest priority in life is God. And we should see that in our finances. We should see that in our schedules. We should see that in what we do with our time and energy and resources. He literally says the number one commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so wisdom's warning is that now is the best time. It's never going to be a good time, and that you will be judged for your actions. There are consequences for your actions, both spiritual and physical. There just really are. And so my response to wisdom's warning is that I will fear God and keep his commandments. I will follow the way of Jesus. I will follow the way that he did things. I will take the narrow path, the one that isn't as popular. Maybe the one that doesn't make sense. Oh, but Peter, I know what's right. No. Here's the problem, because when we get persecuted or treated poorly, we don't go to forgiveness and we don't pray for them. We get back at them, right? The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who do you wrong. Give of your first fruits. Separate from sinful things. He goes even a step further. Separate from things that resemble sin and don't take pleasure in people that are doing sin. I'll let you interpret that to be whatever it is that hits you in the heart, but don't take pleasure in those that do sin. Don't commit adultery. Don't lie. Love your wife and give your life for her. Put God first and all these things will be added. Yeah, but Peter, I got to work. I got to work. I work 60 hours a week. Put God first. Your 60 will feel like 40. And your output will feel like 80. Put God first in everything. But Peter, it doesn't make sense. That's faith. That's this walk with God, to follow this person who has your best interests in mind, who knows about the things in your path that are going to hurt you, who know that if you take a right, there's a blessing. We need to follow the way of God. And while it doesn't make sense and it's narrow and it's not popular, it's the one that leads to everlasting life. It's the one that gives life more abundant while we're here. Let's all stand. So what areas in your life can you choose God's way of doing things? Is it in your job? The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That means if we do what he would do, that is directing our paths. So in what ways do we need to start doing it God's way? Is it in your marriage? Children, is it in how you obey your parents? Yeah, but mom and dad don't know what they're talking about. And dad gets angry every now and then. Or mom just wants us to clean the house. But God says obey your parents. Is it in shaving because your pastor wants you to before you have a mic? Sure. What areas in your life can you choose God's way of doing things above your own? Psalms 119 is a very long chapter, and I'm not all the way through this yet, but this is very interesting to me. So far, I'm to verse 12. I'm trying to go through the whole chapter, so if you do this before me, good for you. We're going to fly through these in 3 minutes here, and we're going to see how many times every single verse has instruction, word, command, statue, something like that. Happy are those who weigh his blameless, who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Next one. Happy are those who keep his decrees. Next one. They do nothing. They walk in his ways. Go next one. You have commanded that your precepts be diligently kept. Next one. If only my ways were committed to keeping your statutes. Next one. Then I would not be ashamed when I think about all your commands. Next one. Then I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Next one. I will keep your statutes. Next one. How can a young man keep his way? By keeping your word. Next one. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. Next one. I have treasured your word in my heart so I might not sin against you. There's something powerful about obeying God's word. Wisdom is obeying God's word when it doesn't make sense. Wisdom is hearing what God has to say for your life and applying it. Yeah, but Peter, it doesn't make sense. I don't care if it makes sense. Nowhere in the Bible does it say it needs to make sense. That's faith. In fact, it says it doesn't need to make sense. That's literally the definition of faith. It might not make sense. Wisdom is hearing what God has to say for you from the Word of God, from the man of God, from the Spirit of God, and applying it to your life. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word that is so powerful, speaking to us and in us, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would show us the things we need to change in our lives. God, help us to notice the things in your Word that we should follow and how they're applicable to our situation, to our life. God, let them jump off the page. Let them pierce my heart like your word is so powerful to do and say, Peter, this is what you got to change. God, let it change me. Let me see it, God. Show me your will for my life. God, let me follow your wisdom when it doesn't make sense. Give me the strength and the courage to obey your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You do not have to pick up your kids. So you can shake hands with somebody you haven't seen before or somebody new. Also, kids, look at this. It's just like Sunday school. I got a little coloring page for you. I didn't give it to you now or you wouldn't have paid attention. Come up and grab one, kids. God bless you.